All players will be in the mix zone. So, of course, we have head coach John Herdman here with us. I'd like to start with sharing some records with you, as we like to do when we set them. So tonight, record-setting match for Canada Soccer's men's national team. Most goals in a home match at six. You'll remember the Dominique match, we tied it at five, so we've surpassed that. Jonathan David has set the record for the most goals by a Canadian player in a season. He's at eight. And it is the first time in our history that we've had three players that have four or more goals in a season. That would be Jonathan David at eight, Lucas Cavallini at seven, and Junior with his hat trick tonight at six. And then the last record setting, almost record setting, is that Milan Borjan has moved into second place on the all-time clean sheets with 19. Okay, so we're going to just go straight to questions. And please say name and outlet for Coach Herdman if you could. Anybody? Neil?
John, Neil Davidson from the Canadian Press. Congratulations on the win. I wonder if you could just give us your general thoughts on the match. And also, I know you like to set targets for your team. Can you share what the goals were for the team in this game?
Yeah, look, I enjoyed the game. I enjoyed watching them express themselves, and I think the fans enjoyed it as well. It was a good night. I think the players committed whistle to whistle. They didn't lose concentration. The focus was there in all moments of the game, and I think that's what I take the most pleasure from. Watching Junior, how hard he worked off the ball, and then being rewarded for that. And probably my favourite moment's Big Dinio getting his goal. I mean, that was just a great moment, because he's stepped into the leadership group this camp with the absence of Scotty and Atiba, and you know, he's put a hell of a shift in this week. He's held people accountable. He's raised some standards in the camp, raised his own standards. And I said to him, look, when you focus on other people and getting other people at the level you want them to be, you naturally get there yourself, and those performances happen. That was as good as I've seen from him tonight. And so yeah, it was just a good evening, Neil, and a nice way to bounce back, and for the players, reward for a solid week they've put in.
Any goals that you set in time particular for this one?
No, I think the clarity of just having a real sticking to the process and executing what we'd said, whistle to whistle. We said we don't even want them looking at the scoreboard this game, just process. And that process is what's going to get them in a better position for the tougher matches that are coming. So, yeah, I was, like I say, I think the goals, we knew we needed a goal difference. That was set right at the beginning, and we said if the process is right, there are some records that could fall. But we didn't want to, like I say, focus on those records, just about them enjoying the performance. Nice experience.
Alex, between the sticks. John, today it seemed you like to prioritize wide areas, like defensively, defending with two banks of four, offensively funneling the ball into those wide areas. How much of that is preparing for those U.S. games, as you alluded to yesterday, and how much of that just benefiting the strengths of your own squad?
Well, it's the same framework from the Gold Cup. We're continuing with the same work. The players have really bought into that and feel it gets the best out of them. We attack in a 4-3-3, which is fluid, and we defend in 4-4-2. And you know, whether that's the same format for the USA, we don't want to give too much away too early, but they're two different games. I mean, you know, going into Cuba, I think this game, we just knew if we could get that first goal and take the wind out the sails, same mindset that some scars would probably open in their team mentally. And then Milan comes up, I think, with a big save at 2-0 up. That save was critical, and sure, he hadn't touched the ball for like 35 minutes or whatever. So I think everything we're doing is just taking the team, every camp, to another level, as Mark Anthony says. It's just about being better every camp, and I think they showed tonight they were better than when we were here against Dominica. It was more fluid and more commitment through, as I say, the four moments of the game. Yeah, he's excellent. I mean, he's just his leadership. you know, he trains how he plays. Like, he trains like it's an international match. And he brings a standard. He came into the camp with a confidence again. He was elevated into the leadership group. He wanted a voice in the team. And he's driven the performances. He holds people accountable, and the players like it. You know, they like having someone that's going to demand it, being played to the right foot and the right texture, because he gets that at his club. And it's, you know, he's pushing things. So I think what you're seeing, he admitted at the end, he came over and apologised for being sloppy at the end, those last 10 minutes. He said, I really apologise for that. And that's the type of guy he is. He's just striving for perfection because he wants it so bad for this team to move to that next level. Believes they can.
John?
Hey, John Monero from CPL. John, with the short turnaround, do you perceive there being a lot of rotation, or are the guys kind of banged up? I mean, it is, like I said, you're going to travel tomorrow and then go to the Cayman to train. So, I mean, rotation-wise, will there be much, do you see?
I think there needs to be. I think for a number of reasons, there's players that have been coming to these camps now, and we were only able to play like one match windows in those CONCACAF Nations League qualifiers. So guys have rocked up and they've been patient and hung in there. So there's a few guys I want to have a look at. You know, there's guys travelling from Europe as well that haven't seen the pitch for a few camps, and yeah, I want to see. But we're competing at the minute as well, and there's an element of trying to create some cohesion in certain partnerships and giving people more experience in our tactical identity. What we've seen from the GPS on the side of the pitch there is we weren't really hitting the red minutes that we were at the Gold Cup against Martinique or even Cuba last time. There was no heat, there's no altitude. So a lot of those guys will be good to go again. I think that's the good news. But I think, I need some questions answered for that USA squad, which is going to be a tough one to pick.
John, Mike Leach, 680 News. What did you see from and what were your thoughts on Richie Larea's performance tonight?
Oh, just a big smile. You know, it's he's such a good person. Before the play, he's just a really good person. He, when I called him to see, he's getting the call up. He was, he said he didn't sleep, and you know, I genuinely believe that he was really grateful, and I think watching his performance tonight, he's brought something different for us. I've not seen that level of cohesion with Junior on that right hand side and Mark Anthony, albeit Mark leads that side of the field well, but he's just his instincts, his touch. Yeah, I was. That was a top performance. I mean, if Junior had scored a hat trick, I would have had Richie up there for man of the match.
Neil?
Neil Davidson again. John, another goal from Jonathan David, a thing of beauty. Do you think we are seeing a player who's going to become Canada's all-time leading scorer the way he's going right now? He's halfway there already.
He's a gift. He's an absolute gift. You know, we took him into Toulon for that tournament, and me and Mauro, I remember the first training session, we'd just come out of Mercia, and we'd never seen a player as clean. We had those players in camp in Mercia, which were all senior players, and then this kid in Toulon, we were like, he's better than what we've seen in that camp. Clean, technically clean, and his understanding was right up there, and this is him as a 17-year-old. You know, and I think what I like about Jonathan is he's so grounded. Like, I call him the Iceman. Like, he's just deadpan. I met his mum today, and he just comes from, you can see, a really solid family. They've got good values, and he's not going to get carried away. And I think that might be the difference for him. You know, those kids that come through and they get all this attention, which I think it's going to come to him, I think he's just going to be... and take everything in his stride. So, yeah. Possibly.
Sorry, I'm going to piggyback on what Neil said. Michael Chandler, who has scored. What do you think Jonathan's best position is? Because this year at Ghent, his manager, Jesse Thorpe, has played him as a second striker. We've seen, even with Canada in the Gold Cup, he profits cutting in from that right wing. He can also play in like an advanced attacking midfield role. Mm. Where do you see him developing like his best position going forward? both for club and for your own purposes?
Well, I think he's one of those forwards that can play anywhere in the front three, and I think that's the beauty of him. He's just got a real high IQ. And I think with that, then he's not going to get locked into one role where he can, you know, when people start to recognise what his traits are, you know, and you're an out-and-out nine, you've really got to dig out a career, because the amount of analysis now, if you're a one-position player, after the second game, people know you. They know every movement you make. They know the cues and the triggers on those movements. So I think with Jonathan, it's he's, like I say, the gift for him is he's just got that IQ where you can play him across the front three, and his timing is so clean. Every player that seems to play, you put him on the left and the guys are going, love playing with him. Always all go, love playing with him. He just is able to read things. You put him on the right and they're like, can you keep him on the right? Because we love playing with him. He makes things predictable for people, but not predictable for the opposition.
So in an ideal world, if he's your starting number nine going forward, would you rather him spend a few more years like in Belgium in the Jupiler League? Or now we're seeing he's being linked with clubs in one of the top
five. He's just going to play.
Would you prefer?
Yeah, that? Just would play. Yeah. The kids, they want to play. They want to play. And it's the danger they have is they have the people behind them saying, well, what if you break your leg or have a career-ending injury at 20, and they'll give them a list of kids that's happened to. And it's a bigger opportunity. But I just hope that Jonathan stays and plays in the right time. I keep saying, like, we go after things too soon and just let it come to you. It's going to come. And he looks like he's enjoying his football. He's scoring, but it's the minutes that are important. He's got to keep honing his craft. And you can't do that from the bench.
John Peter Galindo, Sportsnet. What did you think of your team's defensive structure, especially with Kamal and Richie in those fullback positions?
Yeah, I was really happy. I mean, yeah, the game will get loose when we're asking the fullbacks to get forward. I mean, I think that's natural, but I think what Kamal gives us is a genuine defensive instinct. He's a centre-back by trade. He's been playing left-back for Orlando. He's not the one that's going to want to get beyond the winger too often, and I think that's natural if we can play people like Fonzie, Liam Miller in front of him, those direct sort of wingers, where I think it solidifies the back four. It gives us that security. But if you watch him, he's got great feet as well. I don't know if you've watched him in MLS. He's left foot. He can do a lot with it. And he doesn't get faced too often as well. I mean, today his positioning, it was a little bit off in terms of his attacking. But that's where I'm not judging him on that yet. I'm making sure that he does what the defender's meant to do, which is keep a clean sheet. And to make sure that partnership with Cornelius gives us that solidification on that side. And look, will he play in the future? I hope so. I hope he can keep going because, you know, when you look at the quality of the US wingers, we're going to need people who want to defend first. But more importantly, players that are playing every week. You know, I can't be throwing lads in there that are picking up a minute, you know, 5 minutes every 3 weeks. They've got to be, you know, confident, feeling trusted and ready to go. And Kamal's in that good run and rhythm at the minute. So in simple terms, I think Richie gives you a little bit more of the offensive, and Kamal allows us just to solidify.
Okay. Here.
Thank you.
Darnell Harris, Caribbean Camera. So looking forward to Cayman in a couple of days, are you familiar with that ground at all? Have you never, ever been there?
Do you know about it?
I know as a kid all the rich people in England would go there, but that's about it. People dreamed about that sort of trip. Never thought I'd ever see a football field there.
Okay. And then actually just other brief question. Just in terms of the 40th minute save by Borja, what are your thoughts about both how that played about as well as the save?
Yeah, brilliant from Milan. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, look, in these games you get sloppy, and when you're just in that rhythm of attacking, and the big man, he showed you why he's a Champions League goalkeeper. You know, they're able to stand there for 40 minutes and do nothing. and then make a save like that. So, you know, he carried it heavy from the Gold Cup. He admitted immediately after the game, he sent a text to the players as he was on in the airport, and it was one of the most powerful texts I've seen from any professional football player. He owned up, and yeah, you know, big moment, and I think it really got the guys. If someone like Milan could do that, and he admitted it's not the type of thing he would have done in the past, he would have pointed fingers and blamed all the other people. But you know, he's a special guy. If you get to know him behind the scenes, he's underappreciated, I think, in this country, and what he's achieved is remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And when you speak to him, he's got no pride for playing for this bloody country. That's, you speak to him, he just wants to keep giving back. Like, his wife's in his ear about coming here. He's had all this trouble. She's in his ear going, we've got a young kid. Why are you going to play against Cuba? Because it matters to him. It matters. And then he's like, you know, well, come home early. The club are asking. No, I'm staying. I'm a leader. And look, yeah, there's a lot more goes on behind the scenes. It's a good group, a very good group that want to do something special for this country. And I'm hoping we can.
Back.
Well, Junior's been in the leadership group, and we've watched him grow as a leader over the last, I don't know, year and a half. And he's admitted that. He said typically he wouldn't get involved in that stuff. He just take care of his own business and be jovial when he needs to. But he's recognised, and I think tonight he led by example, and he knew that with the armband. He knew Scotty wasn't here, Atiba wasn't here. And there was a veteran that's got that experience that needed to step up and forget about his goals. I mean, that's the hardest, it's the most dedicated I've seen Junior to every moment in the game. His defensive transition, his defensive organisation, and the tactical discipline. Normally he goes off on a wander. After 20 minutes he'll come off page and he's playing his game. Tonight he was hugging the touchline when he knew he had to, and we found him. So I think for him it was setting the example and a tone. And I've got to say, Mark Anthony Kerr being around him, I think elevated him as well. I think that was that relationship looked very good tonight. So for Junior, the captaincy, I keep saying this to Junior, like, if you give him a responsibility, these big players, the big moment players, he can rise up. And he did it, so. And he had about 1,000 people supporting him. He had 10% of the audience, I think.
Two sections were Junior Hoylett fans.
And he pays for all the tickets himself.
125 and 126, yep. We're going to go here.
Felix,
this is it. Last question.
Okay, Felix Dodd, between the sticks. I just wanted to touch on the central midfield. You have three players, which I think all performed very well today, but also some big names missing, such as Arfield, Hutchinson, and Eustachio. Going forward, do you think that your decision on your three starting central midfielders will be mostly on their past performances, on the profile, will be all tactical? Can you touch on that?
Yeah, I think I'll have to start playing them at fullbacks and centre-backs again. Now, look, it's tough. But this is what you hope and you get as a manager. This is what you need. Like the competition this week in training, people are fighting. They're scrapping, they're clawing at each other. It went up a notch. If anyone came to watch the training, the two sessions were up a notch. So, you know, you're coming into a US game. I think you have to be mindful of their threats. You have to be mindful of, the moments that, or the balance of the players that can give you the DO and the attacking organisation, I think. So I've got some big decisions. I've got a picture in my mind of where I might have to tweak the players from tonight. But I think there's good chemistry with those young players. The Sammys, the Ozo, the Max. I think there's great chemistry there. You know, I think they're the next generation leading the team in. And they're the guys, like I say, they'll show up every camp. They'll be here. They'll never miss a camp, those guys. So I think there's, the boys coming back in have got to be ready to compete. It's as simple as that. There's no free cap. There's no free shirt. And you know, Scotty and Atiba coming in, they'll relish that. You tell Scott Arfield he's competing, you wait and see. You'll see the next level from
him. So thank you. We are back at it Tuesday night. 7:15 Eastern time is the kickoff. It will be shown on One Soccer, streamed on One Soccer. And then, of course, we're back here at BMO Field for the match against the U.S. on October the 15th. Okay? Thank you very much for attending.
Thanks, Steve.
Sandra, is it close?